You know, yeah, you can give the Lord a hand. I was thinking, you know, Friend Day is important because as I started thinking about each one of these kind of stories that you got to hear today, Michaela, when she gave her story about finding Christ, I started thinking about my history with Michaela and her family. And about 17 years ago, at that time, I was coaching Little League football, and my son, about 10 years old, invited someone to church, and that was Michaela's cousin. He found Jesus, and then, so I just see, like, all how God works through inviting someone to church, right? And then as Stacy was giving his story, I was thinking about Danielle, who offered a handout or a help up or hand up, I'm not sure, and brought him to church, and God has continued to work in his life. Isn't that great? And as JT was getting baptized, I started thinking that Heath came to church because a co-worker invited him to church, and now his son knows Jesus. So that's why we have Friend Day, right? Is we want to introduce people to Jesus, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you know Jesus? I hope if you don't, that by the time we leave today, you will have given your life to Jesus, because Jesus is our living hope. Well, my name is John, and I want to say thank you for being here. I am blessed and humbled to serve as the pastor here, and my wife, Joy, and I, we first came to Hallmark a few years ago. 1997 is when we first came on staff here at Hallmark, and we're just blessed by the people of Hallmark and thankful to get to serve with them. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I would love to meet you right after the service. My wife Joy and I will be in the foyer on your way to get your free book and your free food. You could just wave at us if you don't want to stop, but come and say hi to us. We would love to get to know you. Now, Hallmark, we have a tradition every Sunday morning when I get up here. We have this tradition, and since there's so many of you that are new and guests today, I didn't want to just jump up here and do our normal thing, and you'll be like, I don't know what's going on here. So I'm gonna give you some training this morning. That way you can be a part of our tradition. And when you come back next Sunday, you'll be ready for it, all right? So every Sunday, I come up here and I say, God is good. And then you are going to respond by saying, all the time. And then I'm going to say, all the time. And you're going to say, so you guys already got it. All right, okay, you guys ready? All right, God is good. And all the time. Do you believe that? You actually said it like you believe it. God is good. And all the time. And the reason that I do that is this really special to me. In 2009, I took my first trip to Kenya, Africa, and I saw how people lived in Kenya and in remote villages, and how the modern, even luxuries that we have, but even just modern necessities they didn't have. And they would walk for miles to church in the heat, and they would show up, and the pastor would get up and say, God is good, and they would yell out all the time. And it just kind of, it kind of gave me a brain warp for a moment. Because in my life, mostly, I consider God to be good because, like, things have been good for me. I've always had what I needed. And so it just, it kind of just wrecked my world a little bit. And so every time when we get up here and I say this, those words, it's not just words. It's like there's emotion to it, that I believe that God is good even in spite of my circumstances. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. But I want to ask you to do me a favor. As I, again, think about my first trip to Africa, there's three of us that are in the room this morning. Pastor Steve here. Steve, you want to wave at us? Steve is a missionary with Manna Worldwide. Three of you can give him a hand. The rest of you can. No. Isn't it always awkward? Like, I don't know if we're clapping or not, but it's okay. And then Andrew back there. Andrew, you want to wave at us? Andrew Even. Andrew and Steve are both missionaries with Manna Worldwide. Andrew is the vice president, and he oversees all of their missions all over the world. They have feeding centers and nutrition centers and schools and orphanages and all of those attached to a local church in 40 different countries around the world, 200 and something different projects. And Steve has recently come on with Manna, and he is the director over Africa. And the three of us, along with like 10 other guys, are going to be flying to Kenya tonight, this evening. We're going to spend a few days in Kenya, Africa, and we're going to get to see the Valerie McMillan High School. For a lot of these guys, it's maybe going to be the first time for them to see it. For me, my first trip to the Valerie McMillan High School, I was actually there when they had the grand opening of the school in 2010. And some of you here this morning were there with me. And it's been amazing to see what God is doing. In fact, one of the students, her name is Bill Hutt. She went to high school there, found Jesus there, and now she went off to university. Now she's one of the administrators of the school. She found out that I'm coming this week, because originally I wasn't going to be there. Found out I was coming, and she asked me, she just got married, could you bring me and my husband a devotional book of some sort? So I'm like, oh, I think I could do that. And so I've got several books that I'm going to go take and give to her. But what an opportunity for us. So a lot of those kids at the high school, they actually started out at a Manna Nutrition Center called Good News Academy. Good News Academy, Hallmark, we have been a part of supporting them since 2009. And so these kids come in with nothing. They get fed two meals a day, they get an education, and now they have an opportunity to go to high school, which then affords them an opportunity to go to university, and now many of those kids are back at the church serving and have careers, and it's just been amazing to watch. So we're going to spend a few days in Kenya, then we're going to spend a few days in Ethiopia. Pray for Ethiopia. Ethiopia is in a severe drought right now. There's also a civil war going on in Ethiopia, and so we are going to kind of help one of the churches there has a Manna Nutrition Center. They've been uprooted time and time again because of a lot of factors, and we're going to go try to help and see if there's a way that we can find them a secure building, a secure place, and these kids can have church and have a meal and have a school every day. Then we're going to spend next Sunday, actually, we're going to start an adventure. We're going to hike Kilimanjaro, all right? So we're going to hike from Sunday to Sunday. And so I'm asking you to pray for all of this trip as we get to see the kids in Kenya and Ethiopia. And then next Sunday, we're going to start the hike of Kilimanjaro. It's the largest freestanding mountain in the world. It's the largest mountain in Africa. At the top, when we get there, and we are going to get there, it's 19,000 feet, and it's potentially minus 20 degrees when we get up to the top with Arctic glaciers everywhere. And so next Friday-ish Saturday, just really pray for us and put on a warm blanket for us or something like that. But the reason we're doing that is our goal is to raise $193,000 for these projects that I just mentioned in Kenya, Ethiopia, and then there's one in the United States. And so if you want to give towards that project, you can go to mannaworldwide.com and all the information is there, or you can ask me after church if you want to be a part of that. But we've already raised, I think, nearly $120,000 of that $183,000. So you can help us reach the summit, all right? And we can do that for the kids. And so pray for us. Next Sunday is when we start the hike, October 6th, and we will finish October 13th, all right? So pray for us specifically that week, and that God would bless our trip, and again, that we can raise a lot of money for these kids. Now, what comes to your mind? You don't have to yell it out. I mean, I guess you can if you want, but what comes to your mind when you hear the word hope? I'm just giving you time to think about it. What comes to your mind when you think of the word hope? Some of you might be like, I hope this service doesn't go very long, right? Maybe a lot of you, I don't know. Some of you are thinking, you know, this is the first time maybe you've come into this building, you're like, I hope that this pastor is not super boring. And I hope so too. Like, I'm right there with you. Some of you are hoping, I hope I get first in line and get the popsicle that I'm wanting, all right? Do me a favor, when you get in line, whether you like coconut popsicle or not, just grab one, okay? I'm making sure that our student pastor doesn't get one, all right? So just grab one, give them away, do whatever, throw them away. No, just kidding. Maybe you're hoping that the test you had last week when you get the results is good news, not bad news. Maybe you're hoping that your kids are going to come out of whatever the teenage years is creating, right? Maybe you're hoping that you don't lose your job. Maybe you're hoping, you know, there could be a thousand different things that we're hoping for. Let me read this thought, because it seems to me that, I don't know if you've done much research on this, but what they say is that this generation that is being raised right now, and maybe even the young adult group that's in here this morning, may be the first generation in American history that has less hope for their future than their parents did. Every generation before, including my generation, is we had an expectation and a hope that we were going to do better than our parents. And this may be the first generation, they're telling us, that does not feel that way. There's less hope, right? I understand this. My son is 27 and daughter is 24, and I get that tension from them. Listen to this statement. There is no statistical record that shows any period in the history of the United States that people have spent more time alone. Think about that. We have the potential and the opportunity to be more connected to everyone in the world than ever before, but it says we've spent more time alone than any other generation in American history. It goes on to say we're facing an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And I just have to think that if this is true, that we're facing this epidemic of isolation and loneliness and desperation, that then maybe we also are facing a generation or the highest percentage of people who maybe feel a little bit hopeless. And maybe you're not all the way to say, you know, like, hopeless seems really like way down the road, but maybe you're just in a season of frustration or a season of fear or a season of even just lacking hope. You guys sense that a little bit? I think sometimes we get so busy and we're just running. It feels like Groundhog Day. Every day is the same, and we just go and then we go start over again, and we don't feel like there's this purpose or fulfillment. Or maybe there's this fear and anxiety because it seems like, you know, I was in two different Bible studies with men Thursday night and Saturday morning this week, and one of the things that seemed to resonate with both of these groups was this feeling for us as men that we're not quite good enough. And we're not really reaching the potential, or maybe God doesn't think I'm good enough, or maybe I just feel like, you know, I'm less than. And there's all these expectations of what we should be or shouldn't be, and it just has led us down this road of maybe not having hope. And that's kind of the, I don't know, tension. The stress, I'm struggling for the right words to say that I sense in, sometimes in my own life, but I sense in people around me. As we talked through this this week with our staff, it just felt like that's kind of a shared experience of all of us. Like our experiences that have led us to the stress and lack of hope, or, you know, depression or anxiety, our experiences may be a little bit different, but the feeling kind of resonates all the same. Right? And so that's why I want to invite you over the next 8 weeks to join us on this journey of searching for hope. Searching for hope. As Shelley mentioned, we have, there's 30 different people in our church that authored this book. And what this book is, it's a 40-day devotional that walks through the book of the Bible called 1 Peter. And it just kind of takes a deep dive into the book of 1 Peter. And really the main theme of 1 Peter is the title of the book, Unshakable Hope. That even in times of stress and suffering and trouble, we can have hope. So I want to encourage you to grab one on your way out, on your way to lunch today. And here's kind of some instructions for you as how we hope that you will participate. So on tomorrow, day one, right? So there's 40 devotionals, 40 days. Tomorrow, that you would start day one. Okay, it's a very short devotional. It should take you less than 10 minutes to do that. Every day has an opportunity for you to maybe journal a little bit about what you're feeling and just maybe the anxiety that you're struggling with or what the scripture kind of spoken to you that day about. And so this next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those 5 days, you would read day one through five, all right? 5 days a week. Then you would come back next Sunday, and you're going to hear a message specifically from this passage of scripture that speaks into what these devotionals have been about, all right? And so for the next 8 weeks, you would just complete that cycle. Monday, start over, five more days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Does that make sense? Is that clear as mud, as they say? All right, are you tracking with me? Okay, that you would do that. And again, I think you'll get the most out of it if you'll go a day at a time, 5 days a week, and then come back to church on Sunday and kind of digest a little bit of what you've been reading. If you want more time to process, on Wednesday nights at 6:30, we'll have a Bible study here, and it's going to go through the same passage of scripture that we're going through today to kind of dig into a little more if you're really wanting to seek the hope that God offers. Here's what I believe. I believe that hope is available. Do you believe hope is available? I believe hope is found in Jesus. Do you believe hope is found in Jesus? And I believe that we can find the hope Jesus provides by getting into God's word. Let me give you a kind of a working definition of this idea of hope, because I think we could explain it a lot of different ways. Like I hope this message is done so I can go eat, right? Some of you are feeling that. Let me give you a definition. Healthy, this is an acronym, healthy optimism for a promised eternity, right? Hope, healthy optimism for a promised eternity. And that's kind of what we're going to dig into this morning. So 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles or you have your phone app, you can find all of our information in my notes. Hopefully you got handed one when you walked in this morning, a printout. If you're on a digital device and you're familiar with the YouVersion Bible app, all the notes are on the YouVersion Bible app. You just have to go under their events and look up Hallmark Church. All right, so one of the core values of Hallmark is that we're biblically driven. And so when you walk in here on a Sunday morning, you should expect that we're going to invite you to find a passage of scripture. We're going to dig into that passage of scripture. Today we're only going to look at five verses, so maybe that will give you hope that it's not going to be too long, okay? Five verses, only 3 points this morning. All right, so 1 Peter chapter number 1. And the first two verses kind of give us a little bit of context. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. All right. In other words, Peter is the author. Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it says, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. All right. So he's saying, I'm writing to the pilgrims, those who've been dispersed. They've been scattered because of the persecution of the church. And this area that he mentions, these cities, would be what is known as today, modern-day Turkey. And then in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. You see here as one of what we believe is that the Bible teaches the Trinity. You see the Trinity in this verse, number 2. God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he tells us in verse 2, I'm writing to the elect. Right? He's specifically saying that I'm writing to those who are followers of Jesus. So it's followers of Jesus who have been scattered because there's persecution in the church. And the reason there's persecution in the church is at this point in time when he's writing this, Nero was in control. And what history would teach us is that Nero wanted to rebuild Rome. But he didn't have the authority or the okay to do so. So he had the city of Rome burnt and let it burn for 7 days. And then guess who he blamed for burning the city of Rome? Followers of Jesus, the Christians, at that point known as the Way. All right, and so he blames the Christians, therefore giving him the opportunity to rebuild the city how he wanted it, and also giving him the freedom and authority and reason to persecute followers of Jesus. And so this is why they're scattered, because Nero is persecuting them. Now let's look at verse 3, 4, and 5, as we're going to spend the rest of the time this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So let's kind of walk back through this passage of Scripture. Verse number 3, all right? So I've told you a little bit about verse 1 and 2, but verse number 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father. And when he says blessed be, he's really saying praise be to God, all right? Praise God, all right? Could we say that this morning on the count of three? Just could we say praise God? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Why is he praising God? He says, praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, I'm so thankful that God has abundant mercy for me. It says that he's begotten us again. This begotten us again is this idea of new life. We've been born again. We are a new creation in Christ. I once was far from God, and now I've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who's rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he made us alive together in Christ, for by grace you've been saved. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So praise God. This is what he's saying. Praise God because he loves us. Praise God because he's merciful to us. Praise God because he has given us a new life. Okay, now, then we're going to spend, look, what does it say? He's begotten us again, verse number 3, to a, all right, let's again, it says, begotten us to, again, it's on the screen, to a living, guess what the next word is? Hope. A living hope. And how do we get that living hope? What does it say? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The old song would say, because he lives, I can face what? Tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, I also will. Listen to the words of Jesus. In John chapter 11, he said, Jesus speaking, I'm the resurrection in the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall what? Live. A living hope. So here's point number one. Living hope is possible because of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, though I were a dead man on a pallet, if I give my life to Jesus Christ, he has begotten me again to a living hope. Amen. Did you resonate with that testimony today? A living hope. I remember the first day, like just a few days, or was it right after Christmas in 2022, he showed up at church. He actually came, I think, on one of his first Sundays to new members class. And we go around the table and share his story. And Stacy tells the group, yeah, I just got out of prison like 3 days ago. I'm like covering my wallet, and now I'm just kidding. Remember, he's like, hold on a second. It wasn't for anything too bad. That's what he said. And I've watched the dead man from a pallet become alive in Christ. Life changes when you give your life to Jesus. It's not just a change of life. What Peter is saying here, it's a living hope. It's an active hope. It's hope that's alive, and it's alive because Jesus is in me. And Jesus is alive in me because Jesus came back from the dead. And so Peter is saying we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. And if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus says you can have an active living hope, and the hope is Jesus. And I hope today, if you've not received Jesus as your hope, Number two, living hope is possible because of the resurrection. Living hope is available through a reservation. Verse 3, let's read again. I just love these verses, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an, all right? So what is this living hope? It's to an inheritance, incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, it's an eternal reward. It's an eternal inheritance. It's not only a living hope, but it is an eternal hope. And then it says, look at that word, reserved in heaven for you. Who's the you that Peter is speaking of? It's verse 2, the elect, those who have given their life to Jesus. So today, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, not only do you have a living hope, but you have an eternal hope, and that hope is reserved in heaven for you. And how does it describe? It's an inheritance, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it does not fade away. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus was on the earth, he was teaching something new, something that the religious people didn't appreciate. The religious people were all about their rules and their regulations. And if you lived up to the standard and you were good enough, then maybe you'll be good enough, right? And Jesus came, no, it's not about the rules and the regulations. It's about faith in Jesus. It's about having a relationship with God provided by Jesus. If I repent of my sins and place my faith in Jesus, then I can have living hope. I can have eternal hope. And one night in the middle of the night, it was customary for Jesus to be in the garden praying to God the Father. And a religious man named Nicodemus showed up to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Because this, what Jesus is teaching is completely different than what the religious people were telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the religious people. This is why he went in the middle of the night to Jesus, because he was scared of what all the other religious people were going to say when he started thinking, I think I believe Jesus. I think what he's telling us is of God. So he asked Jesus, and here's what Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the understanding of what Peter is writing about. According to God's abundant mercy, he's begotten us to a living hope. He has given us new life. Jesus says you must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. He went on to say one of the most quoted verses in all the Bible, God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But it's a personal decision. You have to make your own reservation. Here's my question. Like, living hope is available through a reservation. My question for you this morning is, have you made that reservation? Maybe you don't know how to make the reservation. Let me explain it to you. Romans 15, 13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible says, now look at it on the screen. Now may the God of hope, aren't you thankful God is a God of hope? Will he fill you with all, what's the next word? Joy and what? That you may abound in what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does this sound good to you? You want some joy and peace in your life? You want hope in your life? You want hope that is empowered by the Holy Spirit in your life? I've left out a couple words as we've read that. Maybe a few of you you noticed. Look at it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice the two words I skipped? What is in Paul and Romans saying? God is the God of hope. He will fill you with joy and he will fill you with peace and he will give you abundant hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's conditional. What's the two words? It's in believing. It's the same thing Jesus said. God so loved the world. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Here's what I want you to know today, that hope is available. Joy is available. Peace is available. In fact, it could be abundant to you. And in spite of your circumstances, because joy is found in Jesus. And if you want Jesus and you want hope and peace and joy, the only way is in believing. So maybe this morning, this could be your spiritual birthday. This could be the moment that you make your reservation for eternity. And if you would like to do that, I'm going to walk you through three simple steps. These steps will lead you to the understanding of in believing. I'm believing in this moment that Jesus is the only way to God. And if you would like to take those three steps right where you're at, you don't need to close your eyes. That may be a little traditional, but that's not really necessary. But I'm going to walk you through three steps. We call them around here. In fact, when you go pick up your kids before lunch, you'll see it on every wall in the kids' ministry, the ABCs, because it's that simple. Here it is. A, admit. Admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says all, Romans 6:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's you right now. If you want to receive the joy and hope and peace found only in Jesus, in believing, you tell God right now, right where you're at, God, I'm guilty. I admit that I've fallen short of your standard. The second step, B, believe in Jesus. We just read it multiple times. I quoted it for you several times. God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, living hope reserved for you. So, step one, admit, God, I'm guilty. Step two, believe. I believe Jesus died for me. So right where you're at, right now, you tell God, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. The third step, the C, confess Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we will believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we can have salvation. Living hope, joy, peace. So, if you're tracking with me here, here's the three steps. You right now, right in this moment, you tell God, I admit I'm guilty. God, I believe Jesus died in my place. God, I'm confessing in this moment, Jesus is Lord. I'm asking you to give me hope, to give me peace, to give me Jesus. And I just want to ask real quickly this morning. In fact, I don't really want to, I know there's a lot of new people. I don't want to embarrass you. We're not done yet, so don't fold up all your stuff. But just close your eyes for a moment. I want everybody just to close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to ask you real quickly. We can leave the lights on. Just close your eyes. If you took those three steps, you admitted, you told God, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I confess Jesus is Lord. If you took those three steps, would you just raise your hand for a moment? Everyone's eyes closed. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that, just put your hand up. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I'm sure I missed some. The truth is, it doesn't matter if I see your hand. God knows what you did. All right, we can all look up. You can put your hands down. God is good. And all the time. Yeah, we can celebrate that. Praise the Lord. If you made that decision today, as we've already encouraged you, you can scan the QR code, put "I'm new here," and then it's going to say, give you an opportunity. I decided to follow Jesus. And we want to celebrate that with you. We want to get you connected with someone that can help you understand the decision you made, get you plugged in somewhere. But here's what I want you to know. If you made that decision today, if you took those three steps, here's what God says. He has now adopted you into his family. You are a child of God. You are a new life. You have a living hope reserved for you in heaven that doesn't fade away. Isn't that exciting? Now, I want to, you're going to get just a glimpse of my warped personality a little bit this morning, all right? I'm a little scared of this. But here's, I think the verse 5 is so powerful and we skip over it sometimes. What did we just read? We have this living hope because of the resurrection. There's a reservation made for all followers of Jesus that doesn't fade away. It's eternal. And then verse 5 says, it's kept for you. I want to show a video clip that kind of illustrates the importance of keeping that reservation, okay? All right, how many of you have seen that 1,000 times? All right, we're going to raise your hand to everyone over the age of 50. That's what I figured. IRU, all right? Here's what I want you to know. If you made that decision today, you reserved your spot in heaven. But it's not up to you to keep it. Aren't you glad for that? Like, there's not this new standard on you of perfection. I mean, our goal is to walk like Christ and become like Christ. But look what verse number 5 says. In fact, let's just read verse 3 through 5. I love these verses. Blessed, and you have a new understanding of these verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, it does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's what you need to know. If you took those three steps and God adopted you into his family, he's going to keep you in the family. Your reservation was made today. What is today? 9/29/24. Secured in heaven. It will not fade away. You can't lose it. It's kept by the power of God. Isn't that something to celebrate? And so I just want to encourage you, if you made that decision, tell somebody about it. Fill out a physical card that's in the pew there. Fill out a digital card. Maybe you were invited by a friend or a neighbor or a coworker. They would love nothing more. The truth is, probably if you're sitting by them, they didn't have their eyes closed. They were peeking. They were church cheating. Like, oh, yeah. And they're waiting to hear you tell them, I gave my life to Jesus today, and I promise they want to celebrate with you. In fact, they'll probably buy you lunch today afterwards. They're so excited. They're so nice and so generous. Man, I'm just thankful that many of you now have a story of the two that got baptized, the story that Stacy shared. You are a new creation in Christ. Jeremiah says,
This is for you as the new follower of Jesus. God has a plan and a purpose for you. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 1, he told Jeremiah, and I think it applies to us as followers of Jesus, that he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And in chapter 29, he told Jeremiah, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you to be successful. And successful isn't, not talking about riches there. He's talking about walking on mission with God. That's where our true hope is, living for Jesus. Can I ask you just to stand with me this morning? We're going to close the service singing a praise to the Lord. Some of you, I don't remember what I said. Was it 20-something of you? You're a new creation in Christ today, and this song is going to mean something completely different for you today. But could I pray for us before we sing? God, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, that even in just a short passage of scripture we were at this morning, Lord, how profound it is that Peter reminds us that we praise God because of his love toward us, that he has made us a new creation. Lord, we praise God because as followers of Jesus, we have a living hope that indwells us, that empowers us, that directs us, that guides us, that brings truth to us through your word, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that this hope is made possible through a reservation, Lord, and Lord, many people today sealed their eternity by placing their faith in Jesus. Lord, we're thankful today that that is kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray as we close out this service through worship that you would just let us sing unto a good, good God who has plans to use us, to direct us, and one day we will spend eternity in his presence, in your presence, singing and praising. Thank you for this day. I'm going to invite you just to sing with us. If it's kind of tradition for us, we close the service out with a song. You're welcome to come and pray. If you felt led to just stay seated and just pray at your seat, you're welcome. This is kind of your time to process what you've heard, to talk to God. You can sing. You can come and pray. You can be seated. It's just, let's just worship God.